Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, February 9th, the year of our Lord, 2025. And this is the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here. And I pray that our time together will be a time of renewal and reflection, revitalization. So let's just jump right in. It is our custom and practice here to begin in a spirit of thanksgiving, to turn our attention toward God in all that we have to give thanks for. And so we will begin by taking a deep breath and holding on to that breath, savoring that breath for the gift that it is, and letting it go, and taking in another breath, and again thanking God for the breath of life. And as you breathe, begin to call to mind the people and the places, the situations and opportunities that light you up inside, that fill you with great joy and gratitude. Those things for which you are most thankful. Call them to mind. Present them to God. And give thanks to God for all of it. Perhaps turn your face toward the sky. Open your arms wide. Every good and perfect gift comes from your hand, O God. And we give you thanks for it all. And we pray that you will join us together in worship. And so let's join together in the call to worship. You can find the call to worship printed in the digital bulletin that comes with the podcast. Just follow over to the left margin of where you found today's podcast, right below that line where it says sermon notes. Click in there, and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Brothers and sisters, let us remember the good news that was proclaimed to us, the gospel in which we stand. We receive and hold fast to this gospel, for by it we are saved. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and on the third day he rose again. He appeared to many, proving his victory over death. By the grace of God, we are who we are, redeemed, forgiven, and called to proclaim his name. Let us worship the risen Christ, whose grace is not in vain. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 11. Now I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you believed. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your good and living word. We pray you'd meet us here in this moment, right where we are, that you'd help us to hear what it is you're saying to us through this good word. And so, God, we humbly ask, please, save us from distraction. Save us from misinterpretation. Save us from preconceived notions. Meet us in this moment and enlighten us, we pray. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, friends, I have to confess, I have been wearing out the carpet in the sanctuary, pacing back and forth, trying to figure out what it is I ought to say about this reading from 1 Corinthians. And in the pacing and in the praying, I was confronted with this thought: Pastor, just get out of the way. Let me speak. And yet, this is my vocation to speak and to reflect and to pray. So I'll interpret that as try to keep it simple. Don't try to be clever. And so I'll try to do all those things. This letter that Paul writes to this church in Corinth, it's a church that he founded. He spent quite some time in Corinth getting this community together. And clearly, teaching them the foundational truths of the Christian faith. What is the gospel? And he teaches them. And eventually he leaves town, but we know he keeps tabs on them because we have letters. We have his letters. Troubles come up. He tries to address them. It breaks his heart when he hears of the fighting and the lawsuits and the things that seem to be distracting this church. But it stands to reason. This church in Corinth is in a major metropolitan area. So there is philosophy and there's thinking there. There's an erudite class there. There's trading and wealth and commerce. So there are all kinds of things that stand as a challenge to or in opposition to the gospel. Lots of distraction. And so he's trying to call this community back to the center. Focus their attention on first things. What are first things? Let's turn to our creed so that we might be able to get into the mind of Paul as to what he's communicating to these people. Our Apostles' Creed reads something like this: I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. That's the foundational truth. He didn't say it in the form of that creed, but that's what he taught. If you read Romans, read the letters. And this is the thing that the church had fallen away from. And you can read through that, and you can read through the challenges of the church in Corinth and other places, and you can say to yourself, has much changed? And in many ways, not much has changed. The challenges are the same. The sins are the same. The distraction is always present. The enemy is always at the door. And in particular, Paul wants to draw this church back into this very foundational and central teaching. What is that? That Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture. How can Paul make that claim? He goes on to explain. He appeared to Cephas, to Peter, then the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive. Why does he mention that? Because if they're alive, the crowd can ask them. Most of them are still alive. So if you don't believe me, or if you need someone, if you want to trust but verify, there are other eyewitnesses. There are other eyewitnesses. And then he appeared to James and the other apostles. Last of all, Paul goes on to describe. Paul says he appeared to me. I can't explain why he appeared to me. How could he have appeared to me? I was a persecutor of the movement. First in line to say, crucify him. By grace, I have no other explanation but the overwhelming, never-ending, eternal love of great God Almighty. He knocked me down, forgave me, and gave me a life's mission to preach about the life, death, resurrection, ascension, and promised return of our Lord, about life eternal. And Paul never, ever shuts up about it. Beat him up, knock him down, put him in prison. He can't shut up, and the others couldn't shut up about it either. Thank God. Aren't we in the same position? After all these years, isn't it easy with all the distracting voices in the world to reduce this story to some pleasant teachings, some inspirational teachings that took place there and then, but we live in the modern world after all. We have science and great philosophers and all kinds of things to distract us. And you can believe in that Jesus thing if you want. You do your thing. And what I fear has happened, and perhaps the chief perpetrators of thinking like that are people like me, pastors and preachers, who in a desire to be nice, which it's good to be nice, don't get me wrong, I try to be a nice person, we do a disservice. We forget our vocation to stick up for, with all that we are, the truth of God that is present in these Gospels, and to fully embody the grace that has been given us, just like Paul. Now, my conversion experience is nothing like Paul's. Mine was a very gradual. I grew up in a Christian home. I somewhat knew the outline of the stories of the Bible. But it was a movement of grace that confronted me and said, this is your path. Go out into the world and preach the gospel. And so here I am, and I do it in a particular way as an ordained clergy person. But we're all called, that's those gathered in this church. So where do we go with all this? For me to simply say, remember, the resurrection is real. And believe it. Believe it or else. God is much bigger than that. I could commend books to you, passages of scripture to you, but mostly what I would say is to take some time and read the stories, read the Gospels, read these letters. Not trying to crack the code or figure them out. I mean, by all means, read a good commentary. Try to understand the historical context and feel what's going on in the story. But then when you've done your reading for the day, put it down and pray for the grace of God to just let it heal you, to roll over you, to open your mind, as we often pray, to save you from misinterpretation and distraction. Put away the shiny objects or the politics of the day, and to invite the Holy Spirit in, and to just ask, Spirit of the living God, I can feel Paul's passion, his desire that we would come to know the truth of the resurrection the way he experienced it with his own eyes. We pray for that kind of grace and comfort. That, I believe, is the kind of petition we can offer to God, the kind of knock that we can give on the door and know that indeed it will be answered. And we will find when that door opens, eternal good news, to which I say, Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. And God, we confess, we have all sinned and fallen short of your grace. But you promised us that when we confess this, when we offer to you the things that we've done or the things we've left undone, the things we've said or the things we've left unsaid, the times when we've denied you. If we hold these before you, O God, with broken spirits and contrite hearts, your grace abides. Your love overflows. We are forgiven. So we pray to receive your forgiveness and your grace in this moment. And we thank you. We thank you for every good and perfect gift that you bless us with. We thank you for the gift of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. God, with all of this in mind, our hearts overflow with this gratitude. And so we humbly and faithfully ask this. God, bless this, your good world. Please, Lord, bless those who find themselves in positions of power and influence. Save them. Save them from their egos. Save them from their lust for power and wealth. Help them to see the people that they govern the way you see them. Humility, O God, bless us with your humility. And we pray for the saints and the unnamed faithful, those just seeking to make their way through every day. God, come to our assistance. Lord, make haste to help us. And Lord, you know each and every one of us. You know the joys and the concerns of our hearts. Sometimes we write these things down on lists, prayer lists. Sometimes we just pace the floor and we run these things through in our mind over and over. But we take a moment here, right now, to make a quiet space and to hand you these lists. And we trust that you'll consider them and that you'll respond to us. So please meet us here in this moment of quiet. Help us to hear your voice. Bless us with your good word. We break our silence. And we thank you for the gifts of peace and quiet. Thank you for the true sense of your presence with us. We pray that you will hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so with a renewed focus on Emmanuel, God with us, yesterday, today, and forever, our God, whom we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses us, bids us peace. Go in peace. Amen.